Those who comprise the kingdom of God should be wise and persistent in doing the work of God's kingdom. In most cases, there's a way to deal with the conflict at hand, so work at it. Try different approaches to solving it. Learn new skills. Call for reason from others to help solve the problem. And don't leave the church. Don't leave the church until you are absolutely convinced that you have exhausted all possibilities to solving the problem and that God is calling you to another place of service, whether you are a layperson or a minister in that particular congregation. The second purpose of this course is to drive home the fact that conflict has been, conflict is, and conflict always will be a major reality in the life of the New Testament church. Now, you're going to hear this over and over again in this course, and you need to hear it as I say it. The second purpose of this course is to drive home the fact that conflict has been, that it is, and always will be a major reality in the life of the New Testament church. Every church experiences conflict. Every church of every denomination at one point or another in its life sooner or later experiences conflict. Large city churches and large rural churches experience conflict. Small city churches and small rural churches experience conflict. The old established church and the brand new mission experience conflict. Churches that have multiple staff members and churches with part-time pastors experience conflict. Churches that have a high volume of financial and human resources and churches that have virtually no resources whatsoever experience conflict. Churches that have weak leadership and churches that have strong leadership experience conflict. Churches that call themselves independent, as well as those that frequently participate in denominational activities, experience conflict. Churches that are largely comprised of senior adults experience conflict, while churches that are made up of young families also experience conflict. Now, I know this sounds a little redundant to keep saying this, but it's something that you really need to understand and believe as we go through this course. These statements are based on years of ministry and observation. I have personally witnessed various degrees of conflict in all of the churches that have just been described. There are churches where members have threatened each other, where anonymous phone calls were a common occurrence, where personal property has been destroyed, where there was a pastor who returned to his pastorium one evening from his vacation, only to find his furniture on the street. There are churches that have experienced conflict where physical violence was a reality. You need also to realize that every individual in the church, sooner or later, experiences conflict. It makes no difference whether you are the pastor of that church or you're the newest member of the church. The truth is, the longer you remain as a member, the sooner you will experience some kind of conflict. Staff members, lay leadership, members in general will experience conflict if they remain in the local church for any length of time. With the years of ministry experience that I have seen new pastors come to the field, be showered by gifts upon their arrival, and I've seen defeated pastors leave early in the morning with everything that they owned on a rental trailer. I've seen church members express words of kindness on one occasion, and yet on another occasion, because of certain circumstances, be red-faced and angry as they could be with their pastor, some other member, or what was taking place in the church. I've seen staff members resign from years of ministry, from years of training, never again to return to church work. Conflict can occur also for any reason. Building programs, staff members, finances, the times services are held, the choir, the youth program, or lack of it, sermon content, preaching style, theology, office hours, paint colors, custodial help, church programs, literature, and many other issues are the causes of conflict in the church today. Conflict can occur at any time. No moment is spared from the possibility of conflict. During any season of the year, any day of the week, any time of the day, conflict can occur. It can occur during council meetings or leadership meetings or planning meetings. It can even occur before a worship service, after a worship service, and certainly during worship services. Conflict can occur at Easter because different persons have different ideas on the Easter program. I've seen conflict occur in the summertime because there were differing opinions on whether or not boys and girls should go swimming at the same time. Halloween is the cause of conflict in the fall for some churches. While church members will argue on whether or not Santa Claus should distribute candy in the sanctuary during the Christmas season. Conflict in the church, it can be minor or major in nature. Ministers can find themselves in serious trouble for failing to make a little visit, as well as becoming involved in an illicit relationship. Conflict can run the gamut. Minor conflicts can become major conflicts if they are neglected and nothing is done to correct the problem that has caused the initial conflict. The outcome of conflict can also run the gamut. On one hand, it can be innocuous. It won't make a bit of difference. On the other hand, it can be extremely destructive and devastating. Like any other institution, the church can experience conflict that is so childish and should be quickly dealt with and dismissed. Or, on the other hand, the church can experience conflict that will cause it to split wide open, lose dozens of members, and slip into financial ruin. A third purpose of this course is to help the student become aware of facts and theories and strategies that will help him learn how to more successfully manage conflict. The fact is, there's serious trouble in the church today. Pastors, staff members, lay leaders, and congregations are all contributing to the problems of the church. The most notable results of these problems are church splits and forced terminations. Forced terminations and how to deal with them is a major concern of this course. And virtually every minister is brushed against a forced termination in his ministry at one point or another. if he has not at least been intimidated with the threats of a forced termination, there's an even better chance that he's had what I call a narrow escape. He's had one or more narrow escapes. Now, while the forced termination is the result of covert or open coercion resulting in the resignation of a minister, a narrow escape is that occasion where the minister is called or placed in another field of service just a short while before the forced termination takes place. He's just narrowly escaped a forced termination. Few ministers are academically, spiritually, and practically prepared to deal with the reality of conflict in the church. Let me speak to each of these in the next few moments. First of all, few ministers are academically prepared to deal with conflict. Unfortunately, the truth is that most ministers born before 1940 received little or no training in conflict management in their seminary education. The areas of instruction that received the greatest emphasis were in the realms of theology and church administration and counseling skills and other related areas. And of course, these are very important areas. No one should really try to be a minister without having some kind of training and developing some kind of skill in these areas. But little, if any, instruction was received in the field of conflict management. So, ministers then are not really academically prepared to deal with the reality of conflict. They've never had the opportunity to learn how to deal with conflict. Only today is this issue being taught and discussed as it should have been taught and discussed over the years. Secondly, ministers are not spiritually prepared. Now, it's with some real reluctance that this statement is made, but there's a significant truth in it. The minister needs to understand that being of the ministerial profession does not preclude him from having to deal with the harsh realities of turmoil in his profession. There was a day when the minister's office was more secure. Fewer questions about the pastor, his role, and his position were asked. But things have changed. The minister today is subject to a lot of criticism. He is required to be extremely responsible in his professional and his personal life. The teachings of his office are open to debate. Congregations demand relevant ministry. They demand relevant preaching. Accountability in general is required more today than it was just a few short years ago. Many ministers have not yet come to realize these facts, and when they face a forced termination, some express spiritual questions, and then others simply leave the ministry. Ministers are not spiritually prepared to deal with the reality of conflict in the church. Third, ministers are not practically prepared. That is, they have really never given serious thought to what they and their families would do should the minister be terminated. Now, again, this is a statement that is made with reservation, but the truth is that many ministers who face forced termination as a result of disruptive conflict in the church have no way to deal or to provide for themselves and their families should they experience or go through a forced termination. Let me just ask you, up to this very moment, have you ever given serious thought as to how you might manage should a destructive conflict cause a forced termination of your ministry? Oh, of course, every ministerial student who pursues study for the ministry will sooner or later take counseling courses that will help him in crisis counseling situation and thus prepare him for crises in his own life and ministry, but more needs to be done. The student needs to become acquainted with different styles of managing conflict and have some idea on which style to use at different times in conflict situations. If the church will do a better job of preparing for the reality of conflict, it will make a more positive impression in the communities of our society. The church must acknowledge and deal with conflict. It cannot say that it does not exist. It cannot say that it is not a part of the life and structure of the church. It's there. It's real. And only when problems are acknowledged is there any chance of really dealing with them. Admit it is there, and therefore have a chance of constructively dealing with it. Pastors and staff members must realize that it is only a matter of time before they will face either a mild or severe conflict. Prepare for that moment and have ideas on how you will deal with it. Denominations are lagging behind in their efforts to deal with churches in conflict. There's a need to remind ourselves of the investment that has been made by the denominations and those who have entered the ministry. More must be done by denominations to protect those investments through research of the problem, through the development and of rehabilitation programs, and even substantial financial support for those ministers who have been forcefully terminated. Preventive maintenance, conflict management styles, support groups, personality inventories, and other thoughts are some of the strategies that are being advocated as a means of dealing with destructive conflict. They are as vital to a minister's career as is his study of theology, church history, and preaching skills. Suggestions on how to prevent destructive conflict from occurring will come under the heading of preventive maintenance in this course. Maybe by just being alert, sensitive, and proactive, some conflicts may be prevented. Support groups can be helpful to ministers in the best of times. They can be extremely helpful during times of conflict in ministry. How to begin and participate in a support group will comprise a part of this course. The contribution that stress, anger, and burnout contribute to conflict should also be information with which the minister is familiar. A discussion of these matters will also be presented in this material. The fourth and final purpose of this course is to help the student become familiar with his particular style of conflict management and learn how to adjust that style when it is wise to do so. Every person employs conflict management styles when conflict occurs. The nature of the conflict will determine the style of management you employ to deal with that conflict. Are you employing the correct style for the moment? Do you primarily use the same style of conflict management in every situation, or do you use different styles for different situations at different times? This will be something that we will discuss at a later point in this material. Now you have an opportunity to react and to be somewhat involved in the progress or the process of this course. For the remaining moments, I'm going to ask you 20 questions regarding your current knowledge of some of the dynamics of conflict. At the end of this course, I'm going to ask you these same 20 questions. Hopefully, your answers at the end of the course will be more accurate than your answers at this particular time. Now, as each question is asked, you will have an opportunity to choose one of five answers. I will ask each question twice, and I'll give the answers twice. So you'll have plenty of time to do this, and you might want to take a pencil and a piece of paper and just jot down the numbers of 1 through 20, and then your response to each of these questions. And place these somewhere where you can find them, because, again, these same questions will be asked at the end of this 8-hour course. All right. Again, each question will be read twice, and the answers that you will be able to select will also be read. Number one, conflict occurs most often in congregations in which there is deep commitment to the church. We'll repeat the question. Conflict occurs most often in congregations in which there is deep commitment to the church. Now, you choose one of the following answers. Strongly agree, agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number two, conflict is necessary in the church. I repeat the question. Conflict is necessary in the church. Strongly agree, agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number three, conflict is most likely to occur among those persons who are closest to each other. Again, conflict is most likely to occur among those persons closest to each other. Your choices are, again, are strongly agree, agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number four, life without stress is impossible. Again, life without stress is impossible. Do you strongly agree with that? Or agree? Or you're not sure? You disagree? Or you strongly disagree with that statement, with that statement. Number five, conflict is a neutral word. Let me say that again. Conflict is a neutral word. Strongly agree, agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number six, dirty fighting occurs among those who perceive they have power when conflict occurs. I repeat the question. Dirty fighting occurs among those who perceive they have power when conflict occurs. Your choices are strongly agree, agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number seven, conflict managers learn how to manipulate conflict to their advantage. I repeat the question. Conflict managers learn how to manipulate conflict to their advantage. Your answers are strongly agree, agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number eight, conflict with a leader is a sign of insubordination. The question again. Conflict with a leader is a sign of insubordination. Your answer selections, or choices rather, are strongly agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number 9. In conflict management, confrontation has the following meaning. Let's get at those so-and-sos and put them in their place. I'll repeat the question. In conflict management, confrontation has the following meaning. Let's get at those so-and-sos and put them in their place. The answers for your selection are strongly agree, not sure, disagree, and strongly disagree. Number 10. Many organizations have norms opposed to the existence of conflict. The question again. Many organizations have norms opposed to the existence of conflict. Your answer can be one of these. Strongly agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number 11. Conflict is inevitable in a religious organization. Let me repeat this. Conflict is inevitable in a religious organization. Pick one of the following. Strongly agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number 12. The first step in the conflict management process is to clarify the goals or wants of the various parties. Let me repeat that. The first step in the conflict management process is to clarify the goals or the wants of the various parties. Your answers can be strongly agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number 13. The Christian faith is usually interpreted as being opposed to conflict. The Christian faith is usually interpreted as being opposed to conflict. Again, strongly agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number 14. The broad middle class of the American society has deeply embedded within it a desire to avoid conflict. Your answers can be one of the following. Strongly agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number 15. Emphasizing the homogeneous principle is the best way to help church members make decisions, communicate, and manage conflict. Your answer can be one of the following. Strongly agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number 16. Some people never experience anger. Again, some people never experience anger. Strongly agree, not sure, disagree, or strongly disagree. Number 17. When Jesus spoke on the subject of anger, he was suggesting that Christians should not express their anger. Let me say it again. When Jesus spoke on the subject of anger, he was suggesting that Christians should not express their anger. Strongly agree, agree, not sure, disagree, and strongly disagree. This concludes 1.